Hey, like I told you earlier in the program, we have a special guest tonight. And sitting here in the studio with me is Bugs Salcido. And how are you doing this evening, Bugs?
I'm doing fantastic, Benji. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here tonight. And we're just going to talk a little bit about your music and where you're coming from, where you've been, and where you're going to. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to open up this our little talk right now about, I'd like to know, just tell us a little bit about what got you involved in music, say, from early age. What bit you?
Being Hispanic and Latino, my dad always played music extra really loud and collected vinyl and all kinds of Norteño music and old, I guess we'd call them oldies now, 50s music. And so I inherited a lot of his 45s, Elvis, Little Richard, the Beatles, and probably when I was only 4 or 5. And I fell in love with music, beat on the pots and pans and things like that. And then my father worked with Little Richard's sister, Shirley, and so every once in a while we'd get invited to Mrs. Penningham's house for like a Mother's Day barbecue and things like that, and Little Richard would eventually sometimes show up, but nevertheless he had his like band equipment there. And I remember Little Richard's mother opening up a door into this pine paneled room with a green Ludwig drum set in the corner that seemed bigger than life and just sparkled. And she opened the door. She goes, "Richard and the boys, they stay here sometimes." And opened the door, and there's this green sparkle Ludwig, and it went, "Ah," you know. And I just always knew that I wanted to be into music. And then a good friend of mine, David Lowry, kind of a famous rock star from the band Cracker and Camper Van Beethoven, I grew up right next door to him from the time I was 5 years old till I was about 12 when we moved here to Las Cruces. And his mother was from England, and she had a lot of the original Beatles records, you know, on Parlophone records. So when she found, I said, "Oh, I like music." She loaned me her personal collection of these vintage Beatle vinyl records, and I listened to them over and over. And when I've exhausted, you know, all the possibilities of listening, I turned all the speakers to the left-hand side and listened that way. Yes. And so that's, I mean, it's always been music. And, you know, I'm realizing that I always used it to get out of my personal trouble, you know. But eventually you have to deal with all those little demons and things you try hiding from with,
of course,
with music. As I get older, I realize that.
So I see that you've worked with Sheryl Crow and Los Lobos, Bon Jovi, just to name a few.
Well, I've been on stage with those people. I worked a lot with Sheryl Crow's principal songwriter, Jeff Trott. He and I were very good friends. I guess we still are. We just don't get to see each other like we used to. He lives in L.A., but he's constantly working. And Los Lobos, I don't know what happened. We became friends and, you know, got invited on stage once or twice. And who else? Bon Jovi, that's another story. In the 80s, I was a kind of a glam rocker, and I toured around and made those people took a liking to me. I've always been fortunate, kind of like this happy-go-lucky waifish character, you know, and people always just took me under their wing for some reason. I've just met these people casually, and then next thing I know, I'm on tour with them, hanging out, and you know,
that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what happened, but that's my whole life's been that way. And you know, I never chased fame really. I just wanted to write music and play, and to me, I thought that's the life, you know. And but a lot of my friends, they were more into it for a career, and they did very well, and I appreciate that. And I just never took it serious enough to go knocking on labels' doors and things like that. I always released my own stuff, and I don't know. I make a living. I'm pretty happy.
Well, I think now with the power of the internet, that's leveled the playing field so many people now.
Yeah, it's a whole new ball game. I mean, you know, earlier Radiohead came out for this innovative new thing called don't go to the label and release it yourself. And, you know, I've been doing that for years. You know?
So that's not really a new thing. It's just
No. But, you know, but I like to release my stuff in limited batches and sign and number each one. So they're more like art pieces. They don't have barcodes and things like that. But now my first CD, I was fortunate enough to use all these great people on my first CD that I had, you know, played or toured with. And now it's worth $78 on the internet, you know, because there's no more of them. I don't even have any more copies.
Right, they're collector's items now, right?
And Don Smith, the producer, told me, you know, if you sign a number of them, they'll be worth a lot more. And he was right. I mean, a lot of my friends, things I played on, the Rembrandts, you know, for the song for Friends, it's in the dollar bin at Hastings, you know. But, you know, you can find my stuff for $78.
Yeah, right. And it's not in the dollar bin anywhere.
No, exactly.
So I'd like to ask you about one of the high points in the last 20 years for you.
And I think there's been a lot of high points, that's for sure.
And this one involves the Sir Paul McCartney. Why don't you tell us a little about that story there?
That's kind of a very interesting story. I guess he has this charity called the Garland Appeal, which is for breast cancer awareness, and they do things because that's what, you know, his previous wife Linda passed away from. Excuse me. And he was, the first album he did was classical music that he had scored. And then the second one was to be unsigned songwriters. And I was an unsigned songwriter, but they had people, you know, scoping out the people before who, you know, the artists that they thought they might want to have. They had, you know, researched it thoroughly. And apparently somebody had come to Las Cruces looking to see what Bug Salcedo did. And my friends in Cracker were touring, and they were supposed to pick me up, but I had just had this freaky time in my life, so they couldn't find me. But they went to Nelly's because they knew I hung out there, and they went to El Patio, and they're looking for Bugs. But they ate there, passed out CDs, and, you know, hey, have you seen Bugs? So this person that was scouting for the Paul McCartney, well, who is this Bugs character that, you know, there's a big tour bus outside looking for him, and, you know, everywhere we go, we hear a little bit something different. So they had kind of stalked me for a little while before they actually put my song, you know, decided to use it. And then, you know, they used it. It brought rural MRI machines to rural areas for breast cancer awareness, and I'm proud of that.
So they used one of your songs on
Yeah, Everyone Needs Some Love. Actually, you have it.
Let's hear it right now. I've got it ready to go. This is Bug Salcedo off of Sir Paul McCartney's compilation CD, and this is
The Garland Appeal.
The Garland Appeal, and Everyone Needs Some Love now.